I would like to welcome you to Mata-Hari Department Store's third quarter earnings call, hosted by Mr. Michael Remsen, CEO, and Mr. Richard Gibson, CFO. I will now hand the call over to Mr. Michael Remsen for opening remarks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our third quarter 2014 earnings call. I'd like to thank all of you today for taking the time to be on our call. Similar to last time, we will be recording this call and we'll post it to our website immediately afterwards. I'm delighted to inform you that despite concerns of a slow economy, we have again delivered strong sales and earnings growth. The LeBaron season exceeded our expectations, and our same-store sales growth continues to outpace the industry. Last quarter, we mentioned that a combination of continued strength in our private label business, as well as gross margin increases, are helping to offset cost pressures, improving our overall company margins. The positive trend has been extended into the third quarter. Consumer demand remains resilient in our stores, with sales increases coming from both an increase in unit volume as well as pricing. Now I'll turn it over to Richard, who will go into our results in more detail, after which we will open up the call for questions.
Thank you, Mike. Good afternoon, everybody. Similar to our last call, at 4 p.m. Jakarta time, we posted three announcements to IDX and also to our website. Our year-to-date September 2014 unaudited financial statements, summary slides for our Q3 and year-to-date results, and also a brief press release. I'll be talking through the earnings slides, which will take around 15 minutes. And then, as Mike mentioned, we will have a Q&A session afterwards. If you have any questions after the call, and once you have reviewed the detailed financial statement, please feel free to contact us on our investor relations email, ir@matahari.co.id. I'll now run through an overview of our results, referencing the summary slides that we posted to the website. Let's start off by turning to page 4. Page 4 shows the highlights of the third quarter. Our total gross sales increased by 12% over last year to 5,008.1 billion rupiah. We delivered a 9.7% comp store sales growth. Our merchandise gross margin increased to 34.4% of gross sales, up 40 basis points over last year. Our EBITDA increased by 13.2% over last year to 1,000.7 billion rupiah at 20% of gross sales. That's 20 basis points over last year. Our comparable net income increased by 15.5% from 605 billion rupiah in Q3 2013 to 698.7 billion in Q3 2014. Our reported net income increased by 10.1% over last year to 698.7 billion rupiah. Page 5 shows the highlights for the 9 months. Gross sales increased by 14% over last year to 10,979.9 billion rupiah. We delivered a 9 month comp sales growth of 11.3%. Our merchandise gross margin increased to 34.8% of gross sales. That's up 80 basis points over last year. Our EBITDA increased by 15.6% to 1,853.7 billion rupiah at 16.9% of gross sales. That's 30 basis points over last year. Our comparable net income increased by 27.7% from 899.5 billion rupiah in 2013 to 1,148.4 billion rupiah in 2014. Our reported net income increased by 17.9% over last year to 1,060.4 billion rupiah. Page 6 shows a graphical representation of the 9 months. As I mentioned, gross sales were up 14% to 10,980 billion rupiah, and EBITDA was up 15.6% at 16.9% of sales compared to 16.6% of sales in 2013, up 30 basis points over last year. Our reported net income, as I said before, was up by 17.9% over last year to 1,060.4 billion rupiah. Adjusting for the one-off charges in 2014, our comparable net income, as I said, is up by 27.7% to 1,148.4 billion rupiah. In terms of sales, we saw strong growth across all of our merchandise categories, with particular strength again in our private label business. For the 9 months, direct purchases represented 34.2% of our business, compared to 32% in the full year 2013 and 31.8% in the first 9 months of 2013. Turning to page 8, this year through Q3, we opened 2 new stores, one in Jakarta and one in Sampit, and we were forced to temporarily close down our store in Kings Plaza, Bandung, following a fire. At the end of September 2014, our store count was 126. In October 2014, one of our marginal stores' lease came up for renewal, and we made the decision not to renew the lease. Revenues of that store amounted to 19 billion rupiah, and the EBITDA was effectively zero. Also, in October, we opened a third store in Big Mall Samarinda, though our store count at the end of October is still 126. At the end of September 2014, our total store area was 826,118 square meters, and that's following the 2 new store openings, Jakarta and Sampit, and 3 store expansions, Malang, Artagading, and Magalang, and also 1 temporary closure, which was Kings Plaza, Bandung, as I mentioned. Factoring in the additional store closure and the new store opening in October, our total area is now today 829,255 square meters. If you turn to page 9, as mentioned, on October the 23rd, we opened 1 new store in Samarinda, and we are on track to open an additional 6 stores before the end of the year. This would give us 9 new stores in total for the year. In addition, following the recent presidential election, we are also beginning to see an uptick in developers' activity. A number of potential new sites, including for 2015, have come up, and as a consequence, we are now forecasting 12 to 14 new stores in 2015 compared to the 10 to 12 that we previously mentioned. Of these new stores in 2015, 12 are in malls that are currently under construction. Moving on to page 11, we have broken out our Q3 results. The first slide here on page 11, this shows that our Q3 sales were up 12%, bringing our year-to-date September increase to 14%. As I mentioned on the Q2 earnings call, the first 2 weeks of our 44 days of Le Baron moved into Q2, contributing to the strong comp in that quarter. What's interesting, if you look at page 12 shows our comp store performance. And what you can see is that our comp performance in Q3 was 9.7%, actually beating last year's comp despite the move in LeBaron. The total year-to-date comp increase is now 11.3%. We still have a positive outlook on the year as consumer demand remains strong and believe that we should achieve a 10% same-store sales growth for the year or slightly higher, as previously mentioned. Encouragingly, of the 9.7% same-store sales growth in Q3, 2.4% came from unit volume and 7.1% from an increase in average unit retail. This continues the pattern we saw in the last few quarters, and as mentioned before, is a very healthy situation, particularly as we also see increases in transaction volumes in the quarter and basket size. Turning to page 13, you can see the increases achieved in our merchandise margin. Last quarter, we mentioned we were seeing an increase in the profitability of our direct purchase business. This, as Mike mentioned, has continued into the third quarter and, coupled with the continued strength of DP sales, has resulted in us delivering a 40 basis point improvement in Q3. And on a year-to-date basis, our gross margin, as I mentioned before, has improved by 80 basis points. We believe that for the year, these merchandise margin improvements will mitigate cost pressures in the business. We also expect this positive trend on gross margin to continue gaining momentum into 2015. On page 14, you can see on a comp store basis, expenses for the 9 months are 20 basis points over last year, 60 basis points for the total company. Our expenses are coming in lower than planned, and we are still seeing encouraging results from our initiatives in improving labor productivity. And we're also seeing the benefits from the initial stores in our LED relamping initiative, which, as mentioned before, will reduce electricity usage without compromising the store ambiance. The full impact of this program will be seen in 2015. On page 15, we can see our EBITDA. In Q3, we achieved an EBITDA of 1,000.7 billion rupiah, bringing our total EBITDA to 20% of sales, 20 basis points over last year. And on a year-to-date basis, our EBITDA reached 1,853.7 billion rupiah, which is 16.9% of sales, 30 basis points over last year. Turning to page 16, comparable net income in Q3 2014 grew by 15.5%, coming in at 698.7 billion rupiah, bringing our year-to-date net income to 1,148.4 billion rupiah. This represents, as I mentioned before, a 27.7% increase over last year. On page 17, we have a chart that shows our total debt at the end of the first half of 2014 at 1,650 billion rupiah. Since then, we have continued to pay our debt on an accelerated basis, with our debt balance declining to 1,280 billion as of the 30th of September 2014. We are planning on making additional prepayments in the remaining months of 2014. The chart on page 18 shows our same-store sales growth by region. As you can see, despite, as Mike mentioned, concerns of a slowdown in the overall economy, we managed to achieve a strong sales performance across all the regions in the third quarter. Java, excluding Greater Jakarta, was particularly strong at 12% for sales, or at 12% sales growth. The table on page 19 summarizes our financial performance for the third quarter of 2014 and year-to-date compared to last year. So in summary, on page 21, we continue to see strength in consumer demand as reflected in the positive performance in both our sales and earnings in 3Q. Our gross margin gains are offsetting expense pressures, and we expect the trend to continue into 2015. We're planning on more debt prepayments in the remaining months of 2014, and we still believe that we're on track with our aim of being debt-free by the end of 2015. And also, as I mentioned, you know, we are noticing an uptick in developers' activities, which is reflective of their growing optimism and has led to our decision to increase our outlook on new stores for 2015. So thank you very much for listening to us today. Now we will open it up to any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key *1 on your tone dial telephone, record your name, and then press the hash key. Whilst recording your name, please make sure your phone is not on mute. If you change your mind and decide to withdraw your question, it's *2. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you will be advised when to ask your question. All of the lines will remain on listen only. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please key *1, record your name, and then press the hash key. We have one question in the queue at the moment. It's from the line of
Kinsey Singh, J.P. Morgan. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. Thank you very much for taking my question. I have two questions. One, first one is on generally how do you see the demand, broad consumption demand environment panning out in Indonesia? We have seen, some top line disappointment in some of the consumer names, not Matahari, but some other names. And our recent discussion with some retailers is indicating some expectations of a slowdown. So just wanted to get your sense, what are you seeing and what is your view on broad consumption demand and specific implications for Matahari going into the next 12 months?
So I think, the government has tried to slow down the economy a little bit of late. But having said that, we are not seeing any signs of consumer slowdown in our segment. You know, I think that our focus on the middle income segment, really been very favorable for us. Because as you know, obviously the middle income segment is the fastest growing segment, and is also the segment with the fastest increases in disposable income.
Understood. And my follow-up question was on, could you quantify what is the amount of debt that you're looking to prepay in the fourth quarter?
We don't actually give guidance on our debt repayment schedule. But I think as you can see, if you look over the last year and a half, we have actively paid down our debt on an accelerated basis. We will be making another prepayment in November and in December. But beyond that, really the only guidance we can give is that, given the rates that we are paying down debt at the moment, we do envision being debt-free by the end of 2015.
Understood. And if I may squeeze in one more question, in terms of your 2015 store guidance of 12 to 14 stores, could you also give some indication on how should this translate into net addition in terms of size or square meters? Should we just assume average size to remain the same as we have seen historically, or would there be any change to the store sizes going forward?
No, when you look at them as a group, in fact, they're averaging about 6,500 square meters.
Understood. And that's the assumption which 5,500 into 12 to 14 would be the ballpark number.
65,
sorry, my apologies. Okay, great. That answers all my queries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of
Divya, Morgan Stanley. Hi, Mike. Hi, Richard. Thanks so much for the call. So two, three questions from my end. The first one is if you can just comment a little bit on your direct purchase margins for this quarter in particular. And we see that the margin trend in the third quarter has been a little bit more flattish on a year-on-year basis. Just want to understand if there's any nuance there and if you remain positive on the DP margin expanding as you look forward the next few quarters. So that's the first question. The second question I had was just if you can comment on the regulation regarding the 150 store count, which has been doing the rounds in the last 1 month, and how, given the fact that your store expansion plan has accelerated, you could reach that number in the next 2 to 3 years. So beyond that, what could be the options that Mata Hari could do to expand beyond 150? And the last question is just in terms of the space growth, if you could share the number in terms of the space last year in September 13, as of end September 13. So I have the number that you shared of 826,000 square meters as of this year. But I just want to understand why the space growth has been slightly lower. Is it because of the store closure or is there any other reason that we should be factoring in? Thanks.
I'll speak to the margin expansion. We don't really consider what happened in the third quarter to be flattish. We anticipate that margin will continue to improve as we go through next year. Part of it is improvement in our purchasing power, and part of it is coming as a result of change of mix because we have a higher gross margin in our DP area than we do in our consignment area. With regard to the 150 store count, Richard will take that one, okay?
Sure, yeah.
Just wanna...
Hi, Divya. How are you doing?
Hi, Richard. Thanks.
Yeah, no, our position on the 150 store limit actually remains the same as the original retail regulation. It was not affected by the revision in the retail regulation. Basically, the way it works is that if you were to have over 150 stores, there is a requirement for the stores over 150 to be either A, franchise, or B, a partnership with an SME. Now, obviously, we're not going to be franchising our stores. We believe that we fulfill the requirement in terms of our stores effectively being in a partnership with SMEs. The original retail regulation defines a partnership as either a marketing arrangement or partnership, or a space sharing partnership, or be a supply partnership. We actually believe that we satisfy not just one, but actually all three of those criteria. Because obviously, if you recall, over 60 to 70% of our stores are actually devoted to SMEs. So we don't believe that the regulations will affect our future growth plans.
Got it.
And I think I caught the tail end of your last question, but I think you're correct. It does relate to the store closure. The store that closed was KTC in Kalapagadi. We've always said that we had one or two stores that were on the cusp. And that was the one. And so with the lease coming up, we felt that it was prudent to close. The actual shopping center itself was not performing well, and so it just made sense for us not to renew the lease.
This was done in October. But the store was open during 3Q, right?
Closed, I think, September the 29th or first week of October.
Okay, got it. And would you have the number handy on the space as of Q3 2013?
We can get that for you. If not, we will send it to you.
I think I read it out, didn't I, Divya?
So the 829 number is what?
Q3. As of the end of Q3, it was 826,118 square meters.
Right. And no, so just this number, if you have it for last year, 3Q. Just to understand the space growth.
I understand. We'll get back to you on that, Divya. I don't have that in front of me.
Okay, no problem. Thanks so much.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you. Next question is from the line.
Caller name hasn't been recorded. Can you check if your phone is on mute? Unmute your phone, state your name, and ask your question.
Caller, can you say something so that we can identify it's your line? No response. We'll move on to the next one.
Nav Khosla from Judico Capital, Singapore. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hey. I just wanted to know what is the kind of rental renewal profile you have for the next quarter and the next year, and how will that affect your costs going forward?
Okay. Well, I think you may be aware, but we have a very attractive lease profile. And I think it's something like 60% of our leases are not up for renewal for something in the region of another 9 or 10 years' time. But if you basically, you know, if you look at, even if you go forward for the next 5 years, we probably have somewhere in the region of maybe four or five stores a year that we would come up, that would come up for renewal covering the next 5 years. I think the important thing to remember is that when we open a new store, what we typically will do is we'll have a primary term of 10 years with 2 5-year options. And we predominantly fix the rental up front for those first 10 years. So we have a very high degree of visibility into our rental costs over the coming period. And in fact, our rental costs we see as one of our opportunities for future leverage.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the liner.
Adrian, UBS. Hi, Mike and Richard.
Well.
Hi. Yeah, I have three questions. So on the 9 months same-store sales growth, you mentioned that so it was actually 11.3% for 9 months, and last year was 11.7%. So when I check your last year's presentation, can you explain the sharp decline for Jakarta while the other regions have been able to be maintained? That's number one. And number two is that can you elaborate on the price increase and volume increase for 9 months same-store sales growth? And my last question will be on the 9 months inventory. I check on the balance sheet. Actually, there was a sharp decline in inventories as compared to June balance sheet. Can you just elaborate on that together with the trade payables? Those are the three questions. Thank you.
Okay, I'll take the second two. So firstly, the reason for the decrease in inventories is because at the end of Q3, we finished our LeBaron period. So we're building up inventory prior to LeBaron, so that'll be at the end of Q2. And then at the end of Q3, that comes down quite significantly. As it relates to the unit comp and the AUR in the 9 month period through September, our total comp sales through September, as I mentioned, was 11.3%, and 6.5% of that came from an increase in average unit retail, and 4.5% came from an increase in unit growth.
As far as the divergence in sales volume increase in the Jakarta stores, it's really a function of two things. First of all, in 2013, Jakarta had the highest increase in minimum wage, which gave them a boost, and they had sales that were very superior in that period. In addition, and now we're up against those numbers, in addition, we have not had very many store openings in the Jakarta area. And as you know, that stores that are in year 2, 3, and 4 are in a hyper ramp-up stage, so they didn't have the benefit of having those stores in the comp numbers that were in the hyper ramp-up stage. So there's really nothing to read into that that you should be concerned about.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have no further questions in the queue. A reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please key *1, record your name, and then press the hash key. Please remember, whilst recording your name, please make sure your phone is not on mute. Okay, we've got two more questions. Next one's from the lineup. Once again, caller, you haven't recorded your name. Can you unmute your phone, state your name, or say something so that we can identify it to your line? Okay, we'll move on to the next question.
Thank you, my dear.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi there. Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Huh?
I just have one question regarding the fuel price increase probably in the next month or 2 months. How will that impact to your company performance going into fourth quarter and probably next year, considering probably after the fuel price hike, there will be another quite significant minimum wage increase going into 2015. Thanks.
We have a fairly consistent track record of increasing our average unit retail over the last 6 years, and we anticipate that we'll be in the same pattern as we've had in the past as we go forward. We have seen the continued ability to pass along price increases when necessary to our customers with no ill effect on our sales volume.
That's right. And, you know, also, you know, it's interesting, in percentage terms, when you look at the fuel price increase last year, it actually was probably more significant than it may well be this year. And, you know, the impact of the fuel subsidy reduction last year had no material impact on our overall sales volumes.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of
Divya, Morgan Stanley. Hi, just one follow-up question, just a housekeeping question. So there was just one particular line item in the OPEX, which is the marketing expenses, which seems to have dropped in this year in the third quarter. Is this just a timing issue because of Labaran, or has there been any kind of initiatives in that cost center as well, which has helped you keep the marketing costs lower and keep the sales levels high?
No, it's just a timing difference this year. You know, there is no change in our overall strategy in terms of marketing. As you know, it's the one expense heading that we deliberately do not leverage.
Understood. And can you give us a little bit of an updated number on the MCC membership in terms of the total number and just any other updates that you've done in that?
Sure. So we're actually very pleased with the MCC program. It continues to grow. We now have over 2.8 million, close to 2.9 million active customers. What is interesting over the last few months is that we have seen more of a shift from our regular membership into our beauty and premium membership. And that has been quite encouraging because if you recall, the average rupiah per transaction of our beauty and premium customers is actually quite a bit higher than our regular or our non-MCC customers. So, you know, we're pleased with the progress, and it's also an area, as you know, that we're continuing to look at to see how we can derive more value from.
Right. And just squeezing one last one. You mentioned that there are 12 stores that are under construction for next year, which is why you have a decent amount of visibility on the 12 to 14. Can you give us some sense on the split of these stores between Jakarta, rest of Java, and outside Java, and also if there are some of them in Lippo malls?
Yeah, I'll give you a little bit of an insight. You know, as you know, it's always, you know, can always be a fairly fluid situation. It looks like probably around six of them are group-related properties, and also six of the stores are actually in new cities. So, you know, we're pretty excited about the lineup for next year. The other interesting thing, I think, is as, you know, we mentioned that, you know, obviously 12 of them are under construction, which does suggest that we're well positioned to open more stores prior to Labaran than we did last year.
Got it. Perfect. Thanks again.
Thank you. Moving on. Next question is from the line of
Adi from Deutsche Bank.
Hello.
Hi, Mike and Richard. This is Adi.
Hi.
Hi.
So I have a few questions. First is on the the planned new stores, 6 new stores by the end of this year. How many of them are already secured? And also regarding your closed store in Kings Plaza, Bandung, do you record any loss from the fire? And when is it going to be open again? Second one is on the ticket size. How big is the ticket size number right now as compared to last year? And third one would be on the, you mentioned earlier about the gross margin expansion. You seem pretty confident that this the gross margin expansion will continue in the 2015. And part of it is because of the change in the product mix. How big would be contribution from the direct purchase, would you imagine for next year? That's all. Thank you.
Okay. tell us if we don't answer all of your questions. Firstly, on the 6 new stores for the rest of this year, yes, they are all totally secured, and we actually have opening dates for each one of them. So, barring any last-minute emergencies, we should be on track for those this year. As it relates to King Plaza Bandung, the store that was hit by fire that is temporarily closed, we will be recording a loss of about 6 billion rupiah in the 2014 financial statements. It's actually in Q3 already. One thing to remember, though, is that the store is fully insured, not only against loss of assets, but also against loss of profit. So when we are reimbursed from the insurance company, that will come back, and more, actually, as a credit, but we won't see that until 2015. So that's related to those two questions. But you also had a question on ticket size. So our average ticket size at the moment remains around our average ticket is about 200,000 rupiah. That's kind of our average transaction value. It's interesting to note that included within that, our units per transaction is about 2 to 2.1 units per transaction. We actually believe that that is an area of upside opportunity for us as we continue to develop. And I have to say, I forgot your other question.
My last question is on the gross margin expansion for next year.
Could you repeat the question so I can make sure I understand it?
So yeah, you mentioned earlier that you are confident that the gross margin will continue to expand for next year.
Right.
And this will be contributed by the changes in product mix. So I assume you believe that the direct purchase contribution will be higher for next year. Maybe you can give us some guidance on how big the direct purchase contribution will be for next year.
I can't really give you guidance on how big it is, but we have tremendous opportunities that we see in our direct purchase business for growth. We will be bringing handbags back into direct purchase next year. It was something that we had stopped selling in direct purchase about 3 years ago and moved it all into our consignment area. We also, we've talked about as our program on developing gap merchandise, brands that fit in between our own brand programs and the higher retail consignment brands. All of those initiatives are bearing great fruit for us right now, so I'd anticipate we're going to have at least a 1 full percent shift over and maybe a little bit more next year from CV to DP.
Thank you.
Next question is from Delano.
Hi, Anita. Hi, good afternoon, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, thank you so much for arranging the call for us. It is following up on the inventory cost question. If you compare your inventory costs on your balance sheet compared this year and last year, it basically grew by 29%, and your revenue only grew roughly by 18%, if I'm not mistaken, or 12%. So basically there was a gap between the increase in the inventory and the sales growth. Should we see this as a risk of on your margin going forward, as in that you have to like sell off all the inventory at a probably like a discount price or something?
So just in sort of big picture, if you look at firstly, it's very difficult to compare an inventory situation at the end of one quarter compared with the previous year because seasonality really plays a part. Obviously, one of the drivers of the increase in inventory is the fact that we have inventory for a number of new stores. So that's the first thing to take into account. Having said that, when you look at our overall inventory, we have increased our inventory intensity by somewhere in the region of around 12%, and that was a deliberate strategy to support our very focused direct purchase programs. So, one of the interesting things is that, this improvement in merchandise intensity to support programs such as the direct purchase key item program has been very, very successful.
I see. Thank you. Could you please share with us your cash conversion cycle at the moment? Is it increasing or is it declining or is it stable?
Basically, I would say it's pretty stable. You should not see any material change as we move forward. Obviously we have a slightly higher mix of direct purchase inventory, but it really isn't affecting the overall model, if you like, in any material way.
Right. It's just last questions on your SSFP for 9 months. Can you please give us a breakdown in terms of the unit price and the sales volume?
In terms of SSG for year-to-date this year was 11.3% was total SSG, and the unit increase was 4.5, and the average unit retail was 6.5.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Next question is from the lineup.
June. Hi. Hi, Michael. Hi. Can you hear me? Great. Hi. I have some questions. I can go one by one. Firstly, on the 2015, the new stores going to be open, 12 stores under construction. May I know how many of them have you already signed MOUs?
Yeah, we have 10 MOUs currently signed.
Okay. All right. And then in terms of, I know that year to date, there are 3 existing stores have undergone expansion. Could you just give me, comment a little bit on their sales productivity after expansion in terms of traffic, in terms of basket size? Is there any impact on the store performance?
So the expansions that we've done have been very, very successful. In fact, have exceeded our expectations in terms of an increase in sales.
So will this new expansion be included in your same-store sales growth calculation?
Yes, it is, but it doesn't affect the company overall comp store sales growth in any material way.
Could you just remind us how big is the size of the 8th expansion for this new store, and do you have any more further plans for existing store expansion for rest of the year and next year?
Sure. So, if we look at, the largest one was Arta Gading, and that was an expansion of 5,606 square meters. So it almost doubled the size of the store. Our expansion in Magalang was close to 1,800 square meters. So, and in Malang, the expansion was about 2,700 square meters. So, these were pretty substantial expansions. And I think, as we had mentioned before, for us, if we have an opportunity to expand a store like that, the payback on that investment is typically much faster, interestingly enough, than building a new store. The unfortunate thing is that we don't often get a lot of opportunities like that. But we were fortunate this year. And in fact, when you look at those expansions together, it's the equivalent of opening two new stores. So, you know, effectively, we're almost going to have like 11, equivalent of 11 new stores open in terms of space.
Okay, got it. So there's no so-called concrete plan yet for the rest of the year. Just, you know, whenever opportunity comes, you will grab it and announce it. Is that right?
Right. For store expansions, yes.
Okay, got it. And could you comment a little bit on the you know, the KDC mall that you closed down, you know, up for renewal, but you decided not to renew, and what's the impact? How many percent of the sales contribution of this mall? And I just want to understand a little bit better of the, you know, the reason behind why you decide to close the store.
Sure. The store was opened in 2003, so, you know, it's an older mall, and really had been really kind of decreasing over the last few years. It's one of only one or two stores that we have that was, in terms of cash flow, was slightly cash flow positive, slightly cash flow negative, depending on the season. Overall, its sales were 19 billion rupiah on a 12-month basis. Just to put that into context, our average store does 110 or so billion rupiah. So very, very, I mean, not material in terms of sales. And in terms of EBITDA and cash flow, like I said, you know, basically zero. So, you know, and a fairly small store too, 4,000 square meters. So, you know, for us it was the right decision.
And under the new lease terms they wanted to give us, it was going to have a substantial loss then.
Okay. So is there any other such store that you plan to close down the road?
No, not at this time.
I think, sorry, I have a lot of little questions. Like the King Plaza, the store on fire, I don't think I catch the part where you plan to reopen it. When do you plan to reopen the store?
Yeah, well, we're not able to say at the moment. We're still waiting for more information in terms of permits for the rebuilding. So as we get information, we will let you know.
Okay. So really just finally two more questions. One is on e-commerce. If you have aware of it, the SoftBank just invest $100 million into Tokopedia, and $100 million is quite a big number. It's almost equivalent to the, you know, the annual net profit. And, you know, with the increasing investment, I think e-commerce it seems to be, you know, moving forward pretty quickly. So I just want to get a sense of how the management think about e-commerce now. Would you, you know, with abundant cash you have on hand, would you consider, you know, venturing into e-commerce to sell some of your products online, given that you already have a very good membership base and website, etc.?
Yeah. I think, you know, all we've said to investors so far is that, you know, we're obviously very well aware of e-commerce and the speed with which it, you know, began to dominate in China. You know, we believe Indonesia is probably a year or two behind the inflection point at which Chinese e-commerce really took off. So, you know, we believe that the time to start thinking about e-commerce, which we see as an opportunity, by the way, not a threat, the time to start thinking about that is now. So that is something that we are looking into, but we're not able to share anything else at this time.
Okay, got it. And last question would be, you know, after I understand that there is a director exit already left after CVC sell down, and also, you know, after post CVC complete exit, I just wonder if there any more changes in terms of the management team or, you know, the board, etc. So just would like to understand the strategy and direction moving forward, at least in the next 2-3 years.
Sure. Well, I mean, we can't obviously comment on, you know, CVC's strategy. But obviously, you know, part of the way they operate is to invest in companies and then, you know, sell their stakes over time. You know, the CVC, Lippo, they're really not involved in the day-to-day management of the business. So even with CVC selling down, we don't see any change in the management team, and we don't see any change in our strategy in terms of growth going forward.
Okay. Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next question.
AMV. Hello, Michael and Richard. Thank you for the presentation. I have three questions. First one is on the margin, still on the margin side. So I know that you're confident that gross margin is going to expand, but how about expense trend? Can you talk about the expense trend and how that is going to affect the EBITDA margin going forward? So that's question number one.
Okay, so I'll take that one. So, I think that, as we mentioned in the presentation, we're pretty excited about our gross margin expansion. And I did say that, we do believe that that will mitigate the impact of cost pressures this year. We don't give forecasts in terms of how we see our overall company margin finishing up the year. But as you can see, obviously, that gross margin improvement has helped considerably in terms of our cost pressures. We see 2013 and 2014 as, frankly, a little bit of a bump in the road, firstly because of, obviously, minimum wage, and secondly because of electricity and the removal of the subsidies by the government, which we believe will be completed by the end of 2014. So we actually see a slight easing in terms of cost pressure as we move into 2015 and beyond. But we can't really comment, beyond that, because obviously some of it is dependent on the macro picture.
So you, in a sense, for the management, when you think about, pricing strategy, do you look at the gross margin itself, or you also, take into consideration the expense pressure?
Our pricing strategy is basically based on the consumer, and what we believe offers great value to the consumer, and yet gives us the right return.
Okay. So the second question is on our inventory management. So for, how are the situation for slow moving or obsolete items, and how do you handle those inventory?
We monitor the age of our inventory by department, by class. Every Monday we get a report that shows us that. We take action on those classifications that need some attention. As a general rule, we have a great track record of making sure that we have a consistent percentage of the merchandise on our floor that is under 90 days old, and that's really a key KPI that we look at every Monday.
Yeah, and in our financial statements, you'll see that our inventory aging provision is very low, and that's basically based on inventory over 12 months we provide for in the financial statements. But as Mike said, we are a promotional company, and our inventory is as fresh today as it ever has been.
Yep. So for those inventory, that are aged over 2 months, how do you, what will be your action to get rid of them?
We take discounts on it in the stores, and we put it in special areas in the stores, usually on a bunker and a table, and we put signs out promoting it at increasingly higher discounts until we get rid of the merchandise.
Found it. And the last question is, I know that the business is doing very well at the moment, but what are the challenges, that you see for your business?
I think, a lot of people ask us this question. I think that as long as the consumer remains resilient, we believe that, given our target market, that we can continue to deliver same-store sales growth of 10% or better. In terms of challenges, I guess we would say probably one of our biggest headaches is the availability of real estate. We would love to expand faster, but obviously given our strategy of regional malls, many times, of course, we have to wait for the new mall to be built before we can go in and get the new location.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Now, just to let the moderator know, we probably only have 2 or 3 minutes left, but if there are any last couple of questions, we're very happy to answer them.
Okay, you've got two lined up at the moment. The next one's from the line of
Reggie, Deutsche Bank.
Hey, Reggie.
Hi, Mike and Richard. Hey, thanks for doing the presentation, and congratulations on another solid result. Just two quick questions from me. First question is on the same-store sales growth in the third quarter. Could you give us a little bit more color in terms of the monthly movements in terms of the same-store sales growth? I understand the general trend for the retailers is that August was weak because it was post-Lebaran, and then September saw a little bit of a pickup, but not as big as previously expected. And then the second question is in terms of the store, King's Plaza, that was on fire. Could you just give us some of the operational data in terms of the sales, annual sales, and also EBITDA? Thank you.
Sure. No, well, firstly, Reggie, as you know, we don't provide monthly same-store sales growth, so I'm not able to give you that. But obviously, you know, given the seasonality, you know, we had already mentioned that, you know, June was slightly stronger because you have the first couple of weeks of Lebaran. Obviously, July very strong because of Lebaran. But you know, we were very happy with our performance in the quarter. And as I mentioned on the call, the fact that our same-store sales growth was actually higher than Q3 last year, I think is very, very positive. As it relates to King's Plaza, I think I may have mentioned this earlier, but basically, you know, the sales in King's Plaza are about 70 billion rupiah, and EBITDA is about 13 or 14 billion rupiah. But like I said before, this is the store that will be reopening, and we are covered from an insurance standpoint, both in terms of assets and loss of profit.
Okay, great. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Last question is from the line of?
It's the fair of Macquarie. Hi, Mike and Richard. I have two questions. Firstly, your direct purchase gross profit margins have been flat. I was wondering why. Have you maybe seen any, you know, more pressure on the raw material side? Second question is reduction in salaries and expenses. Do you think this can be maintained going forward? And the third question is what kind of same-store sales growth do you expect for Java and ex-Java divisions moving into next year? Thanks.
Okay. So, well, firstly, just on the sales, you may not be aware, we actually don't provide any specific sales forecast. The only thing that we have said before is that, you know, given the strength in our middle income segment, we do believe that we will be able to deliver a double-digit same-store sales increase for 2015. You know, just like we are forecasting for this year, and as you can see, if you look over the last few years, we've been able to average that fairly comfortably. When you look at our direct purchase gross margin, you know, we may want to take this offline, but when you actually go into the financial statements in detail, you will actually see an improvement in both our direct purchase margins and our consignment vendor margins. So, you know, we can perhaps take that offline and you can follow up on that with Maggie. But you can derive that from the financial statement. The third question, I have to admit, I forgot what you said for the third one.
Sorry. So I said there was a reduction in the salaries and expenses as a percentage of revenue. I was wondering, you know, whether this could be maintained going forward.
You know, if you're just looking at Q3, you have to be a little bit careful, particularly when you're looking at expenses as a percent of sales, because, you know, obviously Q3 is our largest sales period, and so typically you should find that that would be the lowest in terms of expenses as a percent of sales, particularly when those sales are fixed. Having said that, broadly speaking, you know, we've always said that this year we will see some pressure in terms of percent of sales coming primarily from the minimum wage increase and the electricity.
So we will get some pressure there. We have been able to mitigate it through our labor programs and our relamping programs. And so going forward, again, we're not able to give specifics. We won't know the minimum wage increases for a few more weeks. But you know, we anticipate that 2015 and beyond will be less challenging than has been this kind of road bump, if you like, in 13 and 14.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. That was our final question.
Great. Well, thank you very
much. Thank you, everyone. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your call for today. Thank you for joining. You may now disconnect.